On Monday, the 26th of November, the Archives Partnership Trust will be presenting PBS producer Ken Burns speaking with Harold Holzer, prominent Lincoln scholar. Ken Burns, of course, the Academy and Emmy Award-winning documentary film director and producer, best known for his work in the Civil War, America's National Parks, Prohibition, jazz, baseball, and most recently, the Dust Bowl. It's a great pleasure to have Ken Burns on the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It is always a delight to speak to you. Again, you're going to be coming to Albany, receiving this award from Harold Holzer. And I assume you understand where your place is with historians, given that you do so much in that realm, helping historians and really putting a spotlight on what it is that the group of you do.
Well, to me, it's all an arrow pointing in the other direction, back at them. If there are no archives, there's no libraries and historical places, no people dedicating their entire lives to preserving the materials of our past, then there's no me. And it's an incredibly great honor to be involved with folks. I can remember my very first film on the Brooklyn Bridge and my second one on the Shakers, spending time with the archives at the State of New York and realizing their critical importance to trying to tell the stories that I wanted to tell. I got the history bug pretty early in my professional life, and everything I've done has been in American history. And if anyone stays long enough to watch the ending credits, they see hundreds, literally hundreds of archival repositories go by. This is our bread and butter. These are the folks who day in and day out preserve the legacy and the record of our country. And that they would honor me is such a tremendous feat for me. I can't begin to describe how central they are to my life.
Spending time in archives, spending time in libraries, doing the research, when do you know you have a find? Does that often come later, or do you really have those aha moments?
You know, we used to have those aha moments in the pre-digital days where you'd go in with your umbrella lamps and your camera on a tripod and an easel that we worked out with magnets that would affix the photograph at this archive or that, and you'd film all day or all week or for 6 weeks. Depending on the size of the place. And every once in a while, you'd be living inside a photograph and you'd suddenly realize that you could tell a very complicated story, that the re-photography, the re-filming of that still photograph would not be just one shot, but maybe 10 shots. And that was exhilarating. Or you'd speak to a curator and say, what do you have that no one's asking about that you think is really special? And they might show you something that might be slightly tangential to the subject but helps you tell that subject better. Those aha moments are fewer and farther between these days because almost all collections are digitally there. Somebody goes and scans a bunch of stuff, and then the real work happens in the editing room, as it always did, because no amount of great, rare, and never-before-seen archives or compelling interviews or beautiful live cinematography makes a film by itself. It requires incredibly difficult editing process. You know, I live in New Hampshire, and we make maple syrup, and it takes 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup, and that's an awful lot like what we do in documentary filmmaking, especially historical documentary filmmaking.
You look, for example, your latest project on the Dust Bowl, but are there things that you hope you find going in, or is it... individual things that actually lead you to the project to say, well, if we have that, we really have a story?
Well, you know, in the case of the Dust Bowl, the critical mass occurred with the number of people we were able to find. I went on PBS stations all across the panhandle of Oklahoma and Texas and southwestern Kansas and southeastern Colorado and northeastern New Mexico. That was an area called no man's land because no one thought it would ever be farmed. And then when it was farmed, it lay exposed to the inevitable drought and wind. And we have the Dust Bowl. And then in a few counties in the Central Valley of California, where many of the people who left the Dust Bowl area went and settled the infamous Okies of John Steinbeck's novel, The Grapes of Wrath, which covered all sorts of people leaving the Depression as well as the Dust Bowl for things. And when we found enough people who, as children or as teenagers, remembered this story, we know we could do it. But we're always involve like prospectors in looking for stuff. We know that not every time you put your pickaxe into the ground, you're going to find something, you're going to strike gold. But if you keep at it, more often than not, you will strike gold. And in the case of our films, we've been so fortunate to find those libraries. In the case of the Dust Bowl, we found the individuals, and then we found their own private, you know, photo albums, or we found the albums that were there in the dusty little county historical society that nobody outside that county had looked at in years and years. And so we can say that the films that the still photographs and a little bit of the films that animate this film of the Dust Bowl haven't been seen by larger audiences ever. And unfortunately, and we know this because we've lost already 5 of the 26 folks who appear in our film, that we're not going to be able to talk to survivors of the Dust Bowl very much longer. And that gave our project a kind of urgency, but I have to say in a kind of excitement, that when these guys in their late 80s who were teenagers describing their period break into tears over the death of a little sister they haven't seen since early 1935, and she herself was not even 2.5, you begin to understand the power of memory and the power of history. It's not something dusty that's, you know, castor oil that we have to take, you know, and there's going to be a quiz next Tuesday. This is something integral to what our beings are, and that these memories are the DNA, not just for some larger American history, that's wonderful, but for our own personal histories. And they didn't expect at the beginning of the question that they were going to be in tears thinking about little Rena Marie. And that just tells you that memory is on our hard drive, and we access it as if it is present.
And it goes to bust many of the, I don't think I'm alone in this, but I was just surprised from the very premise of the film that this was a man-made event.
Yeah, well, I think the Dust Bowl comes down to us as John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. Well,
right.
Actually, the Joad family were tenant farmers who lost their job in the Depression and the collapse of cotton that moved to California. And most of the novel takes place in the Central Valley of California. Well, we spend a couple of chapters within our two-part, four-hour film in California. It's an important story to tell. Most of it is back in no man's land in western Oklahoma, not eastern Oklahoma. And this is, yes, a 10-year apocalypse of hundreds and hundreds of storms, some of them moving in one day more dirt than it took to excavate the Panama Canal in the 10 years that the United States was involved. So much dirt in one storm that it left a patina of dust on President Roosevelt's desk all the way east at the Oval Office, and then the next day coated ships 300 miles out at sea. That it not only killed their crops, but it killed their cattle and then their children too, who came down with this mysterious thing called the dust pneumonia, and that it could have been prevented. That this was an area of marginal, at very best, marginal agriculture. Cultural possibilities that experienced some wet years. Greed took over. People sold land at unscrupulous prices. People put in wheat. They grew a crop, but it was the wrong side up, as the old rancher said. It buffalo grass had been there for eons, and it was holding the ground, the soil, during the constant winds that are there and the usually near desert conditions. And when those conditions return, the normal conditions return, and those ever present winds continue to blow, you had a recipe for what is the worst man-made ecological disaster in all of American history and quite possibly in world history. And then you have to say, unfortunately, so far, because we have so many other ecosystems from oceans to other places that are on the brink of collapse that unfortunately the Dust Bowl will only remain as a kind of cautionary environmental tale, just as it remains a story of almost heroic perseverance on the part of those who decided to stick around and try to make a go of it.
Ken Burns will be at a New York State Archives Partnership Trust event at the Egg on Monday night, the 26th of November, from 7:30 to 8:30. You can find out more information about the event by going to theegg.org, theegg.org. Ken Burns will be sitting down with Lincoln scholar Harold Holzer for a very informative and very interesting evening. Ken, it's always great to have you on the program. I thank you very much, and we look forward to having you here in Albany.
Thank you so much, Joe. I can't wait to see you all.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, director and producer Ken Burns will be coming to Albany at the Egg on Monday, November 26th, from 7:30 to 8:30. You can find out more information at theegg.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.